We are going to describe how to do the diagnostic test. We are going to build the structure of this test, the PCR test, without having the virus. We're going to describe how you test for the virus, but we don't have the virus. Again, there's only one reason possible for that. It's not available. It's not available because nobody has it. Nobody has it because it hasn't been isolated, which means it hasn't been separated out from all of the cellular debris, many different genetic sequences, microbes of all different kinds, waste material, et cetera, from the human body, which is what you need to do, separate it out completely, so you isolate it, so you therefore prove that it exists, and then you can begin to say, we're studying it now. They don't do that, because they don't have the virus. That's how deep into the rabbit hole this whole insanity goes, all the way down to the beginning. And it's in their own documents, in their own words, about which there can only be one conclusion. They don't have it because they can't get it. They can't get it because nobody has it, because it's unproven. So some very shocking news this week. I'm going to lay it out for you. As many of you know, since the beginning of this whole thing called the pandemic, I've been exposing the fraudulent science underlying the whole business, going down the rabbit hole as deeply as possible. And in the past week to 10 days, I've been publishing articles on the missing virus. Yes, that's right. The missing virus. Number one, a CDC document dated in July. A very significant document because it describes the exact excruciatingly complex procedure for doing the PCR test, the diagnostic test for the virus. And reading down deep into the article on page 39, it states, no quantified virus was available. That's the CDC saying that about themselves, the most powerful public health agency in the world, that they did not have the SARS-CoV-2 virus, the COVID virus, because it was not available. Really? Really? Not available. Now, they use the word quantified, which is a BS term used to try to distract people and confuse them, because every object that exists in the universe is quantifiable, meaning simply that you can measure it in some way. So you can strike that word out of the statement. No virus was available. This can only mean one thing, that the CDC, most powerful public health agency in the world, couldn't get the virus, could not get an isolated specimen of the virus anywhere in the world, not from China, not from Germany, not from any state in the U.S., not from any lab, not from any country, not from anywhere whatsoever. Okay? Nowhere. Why is that? Why would that be? Because nobody had it. Because it wasn't there. Nobody had it. This is not like some, you know, country doctor in Oshkosh who decides to write a letter to some company or agency that sends out germs to be studied and saying, I would like a specimen of the SARS-CoV-2 virus so that I can study it in my little kitchen lab. This is the CDC. If they can't get it, if it's not available to them, it's not available to anybody. And that's July of this year. But nevertheless, they're describing a test, the PCR test, for diagnosing the virus that isn't available, that isn't there because nobody has it, because it's never been isolated, because nobody has ever proved that it exists, because if they had, somebody would have the virus, and if they had it, they would be able to send it to the CDC. This is staggering, folks. Staggering. But this is not the only case of the missing virus, because I was led to yet another case, this time in February of 2020, in Europe, a major, major study, which I've cited in a recent article, by a group of authors who are once again putting together the diagnostic test for the virus that's going to be used all over the world. This, in fact, is the first major study that resulted in the PCR test being used all over Europe and then all over the world. And they, too, say, they put it slightly differently. They say, we are going to describe how to do the diagnostic test. We are going to build the structure of this test, the PCR test, without having the virus. We're going to describe how you test for the virus, but we don't have the virus. Again, there's only one reason possible for that. It's not available. It's not available because nobody has it. Nobody has it because it hasn't been isolated, which means it hasn't been separated out from all of the cellular debris, many different genetic sequences, microbes of all different kinds, waste material, et cetera, from the human body, which is what you need to do, separate it out completely. So you isolate it, so you therefore prove that it exists, and then you can begin to say, we're studying it now. They don't do that because they don't have the virus. That's how deep into the rabbit hole this whole insanity goes, all the way down to the beginning. And it's in their own documents, in their own words, about which there can only be one conclusion. They don't have it because they can't get it. They can't get it because nobody has it. Because it's unproven. So, what are the implications? They are many. Many, 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 many that you can obviously fill in. A completely fraudulent diagnostic test, first of all. Meaningless case numbers and meaningless death numbers on which the whole fiction is built of the pandemic. And then finally you get to the justification for all the lockdowns and the economic and human destruction resulting from the lockdowns, the closure of businesses, the worldwide declarations of states of emergency, and so on and so forth, all stemming from this complete insanity, which at the root is no virus, no virus, no proven virus, period. What about all the scientists that say they've sequenced virus? Now, they do this in two basic ways. First of all, they say that they have isolated the virus. You'll see this in various studies and so on. Agencies will say this. They throw around that word like short order cooks throw around hash in a diner. It doesn't mean to them what you would say it means. Isolation means, as I said, You separate out the virus from all of the surrounding material. So there it is. You can see it. You can examine it. You can put it under an electron microscope. You can do large scale studies on people with it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, what they mean is often the following. In the lab, not in the real world, they have a dish with soup in it. And they say the COVID virus is in that soup. And so is various forms of RNA, genetic material floating around, chemicals, drugs, and other substances, some of which are corrosive and harmful, and human cells in the soup. They observe this soup over time, and they say, we know the virus is there. We know it's growing because it's killing the human cells in the dish in the lab. No, no, no. They don't know any such thing. Because very easily those chemicals and drugs in the soup could be killing the virus that they claim, the human cells that are in the soup, in the dish, in the lab. But they assume, without proof, no, it would be the virus that's killing the human cells. They have no idea whether that's true. They assume it to be true. And this is often what they mean by we isolated the virus. Nonsense, complete lie, complete fabrication. Couldn't be further from the truth. Look at the soup in the dish in the lab. It's a mush, it's a mishmash, which they claim contains the COVID virus in sludge. That ain't isolated. So when they use the word, and people email me and say, well, this lab says they isolated that. Those people say they isolated it. You have to know how they're using the word isolation. And again, if anybody had really isolated the virus, the CDC would have gotten it. They would have said it's available, and we haven't. But they didn't. As of July, they said not available. We don't have it. We can't get it because nobody has it, because nobody's isolated it, and therefore nobody's proved that it exists. Second way they deceive. They say, well, we have sequenced the genetic structure of the virus. Therefore, the virus must exist. How else, could we have sequenced it, laid out its genetic structure, unless it existed, right? Wrong. Completely wrong. When they sequence the genetic structure of a virus, this is not like looking at a virus in its pristine form through some kind of cosmic microscope and looking at rows of genes that are lined up like cars in a supermarket parking lot. No. They're inferring, assuming that what they are sequencing is in fact the virus without having the virus. How can they do that? Well, obviously they can't. They can start off with a piece of RNA, which they claim is part of the virus, and then they could sequence that, and they could cobble that together with a few other pieces of RNA that they pick out and say, okay, you see this whole long thing here? This is the genetic sequence of the COVID virus. But it isn't. It's what they assume the genetic sequence is. So that's a failure as well, a gigantic failure. It does not prove that the virus exists. It does not prove that anybody's proved the virus exists. And you need to know that. It's a fantastic con, is what it is. That's exactly what it is. Now, you could look at this in the following way. 44 people in Wuhan, China, starting in around December of 2019, fell ill with pneumonia. If you look at the early studies on these people that were done in China, what do you see? They had pneumonia. Well, about 300,000 people die from pneumonia every year in China. So that would mean millions of cases. Nothing new. And if the researchers in Wuhan wanted to look out the window of their own lab at the air quality, horrendous, hovering over Wuhan, they would find out all they need to know about many, 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 many cases of pneumonia they are now calling the new epidemic. But they don't do that. Of course not. Instead, they say, well, these cases are unexplained, and we have to look for a virus. They always do that because that's what they want. They want to give you a germ to be afraid of, and they have a story. And that's the real reason why this should be called a plandemic, because they planned to sell a story about a virus, not an actual proved virus. They knew what the story was going to be long before they emerged from the lab and said, we found the new virus and it's a coronavirus. You have to ask yourself this question. If you're faced with 44 people who have pneumonia and you say these cases are unexplained, how do you decide what to look for as the cause if you're looking for a germ, if you're determined to look for a germ despite the obvious evidence of air pollution? The answer is simple. You don't. You have no clue. You have no idea. There are millions and billions of trillions of viruses that you could start looking for as the possible cause. But no, you decide up front and before up front that you are going to be looking for a virus from the coronavirus family. That means you had the story already prepared. That's the way the story was going to be sold. And if you look at these preparedness exercises and tabletop drills, et cetera, all of which preceded the announcement of a worldwide pandemic, you see coronavirus mentioned over and over again. And what are they really talking about there? They are talking about the predetermined story they are going to sell. And that's how they knew what virus to pretend to look for. Get it? So what are we looking at here? We're looking at fraud on a scale that is just as staggering as possible. Well, we don't have the virus. The virus isn't available. We can't get the virus. The CDC can't get the virus. But we're going to manufacture a test that is looking for the virus, although we don't have the virus and we can't get it because nobody can get it, et cetera, et cetera. And I've gone over the typical statement, so we've sequenced the virus, therefore it has to exist. We've isolated it. No, 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 no. These are the statements that they make in order to justify the kind of deep medical fraud that's been going on for 100 years or more. This is the new version, you could say, of the germ slash gene theory. Of everything bad is caused by germs and you have to be totally terrified, et cetera, which means that we can sell you a story, any story we want to, about a virus that exists, even though we've never proved it exists and we don't care whether it exists because we're selling you the story. And all you have to do is wear a mask, shut down your business, go broke, stay indoors whenever we tell you to. wear a mask, distance, lock down, lock down, lock down, give in, surrender, be destroyed. All on the basis of a story. We've got a story and we're selling you the story. That's what it is. That's the way it works. That's the way it's always worked. The decline of so-called infectious or contagious disease in the West, in terms of mortality, happened way before the introduction of antibiotics or vaccine. And it resulted from better hygiene, much better public sanitation, the rise of the middle class, and most of all, much better nutrition. Those were the factors. Those were the factors that built up general health, strength of what they like to call the immune system. This is why mortality severely declined in the West. Not because Rockefeller researchers had come up with some, the 150,000th way of killing the dreaded germ with toxic drugs and toxic vaccines. Not at all. That's not the way it happened. But they don't want to tell you. They don't want you to be educated in that fact. It would destroy medical school. I mean, if a professor in medical school got up on the first day and said, look, I have to issue a disclaimer. Everything that you're going to learn or assume or infer in your years of medical school and internship and residency on the way to becoming a medical doctor needs to be modified and understood in a different light, which is that the rapid and fantastic decline in mortality from contagious disease in the West was really the result of hygiene, sanitation, better nutrition, rise of the middle class. That's the big one, students. So make sure you never forget that. And then a whole lot of students would start looking at each other and say, well, what are we doing here? If this is the case, what are we doing here? And so what I've been talking about over the last 40 minutes or so with the unproven virus, the virus that's missing, is just really the latest episode of fraud, incredible fraud, that has been portrayed as a story to sell the public, to sell the governors, to sell the presidents, to sell the prime ministers, to enforce the lockdowns and the destruction of society as a gateway into a technocratic brave world. That's what it's all about. Now, some people have written me as I published these recent articles and said, well, my friend is a virologist and he says, my friend is a geneticist and she says, my doctor says, these are not the people to be asking about whether the virus has ever been proved to exist. That would be like asking a television anchor for the nightly news whether he reports facts every night. What do you think he's going to say? No, actually, I lie every night. Some nights I'm better at it than others, but my main job is to lie to the public. What do you think? Would you ask public health officials to give you deep facts about public health? You might if you were crazy. What do you think they're going to say to you? My whole profession is based on a lie, on many lies, actually, and I tell them all the time. No, they're going to say, well, of course. I can tell you everything you need to know about public health. This is my specialty. And in parenthesis, without my specialty, I wouldn't be able to pick up a paycheck or pay the mortgage or send the kids to college or pay off the car or have a vacation home in Long Island or you know, hobnob at cocktail parties with the elite, et cetera, et cetera. Now you would be getting down to it. Now you would be getting down to why so many of these people are outright drunks and why there's so many of them are already under the care of doctors. Because their health has deteriorated, because their spirit has deteriorated, because the reason that they went into their profession has been completely perverted from the time they were young, and they know they're telling lies all the time. And they don't see how they can do anything about it because they feel like they're trapped, which simply is another way of saying they have no courage, none at all. And some of them are just, you know, outright psychopaths and sociopaths. So no, you wouldn't ask your friend, the virologist or the geneticist, whether he or she believes or asserts that the existence of the COVID virus has been proven. The whole issue is that this that I'm speaking about here is an investigation into what is being called science. And in order to do that investigation, you don't ask the people whose very livelihood and reputation depends on an authoritarian view of what science is all about. Absolutely not. Nor would you go to experts, so-called, on the PCR test and ask them how they can possibly devise a test to detect a virus that isn't there. They wouldn't be able to give you an answer, and they wouldn't try. They would simply say, that's ridiculous. Of course the virus is there, and of course we test for it and we find it. And are you going to accept that? Did you accept the report of the 9/11 commission as fact, unimpeachable fact? Did you accept the report of the Warren Commission after the assassination of JFK as unimpeachable fact? Oswald acted alone. Did you accept that? Would you go to members of the Warren Commission or the 9/11 Commission and ask them whether or not Oswald acted alone, or whether the scenario that we were fed, the story that we were fed about exactly how the buildings came down on 9/11, whether that story was accurate? Would you go to the 9/11 Commission to find that out? Of course not. Not if you were investigating, not if you wanted to find out the truth, not if you were concerned about the truth or the actual answers. That's not what you would do. So you would not ask your geneticist or virologist friend whether or not the virus had ever been proved to exist. Not at all. That's the story about the story for this week, folks. Shocking and staggering news. See you next time.